With me to Exodus chapter 20 for the first part of our reading. We will also read from the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. And we read just the fifth commandment this morning. Verse 12, Exodus 20. Here says the Lord, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then we turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we read verses 1 through 4. Children, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. They would have been sitting down together. Somebody would have been appointed to read that letter. And imagine as you're reading through that letter, and a lot of adult things are being said, and you're sitting there and you're 10 years old, and suddenly you hear the words addressed to you. You're part of God's congregation. You're the people of God. God wants you to hear something. Children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Amen. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters, in our 1 Corinthians series we've been going through recently, we've been seeing how Paul is constantly thinking about identity. The church is a holy community. We are part of the church. This is our identity that God has brought us into Jesus Christ through union with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He's made us members of His body, Jesus' body. And so as a body then, we are members of this holy body, this holy community. So we're to live in the light of that reality. We're to live in the light of His truth, right? His word, His will. And that's our witness then. That's our identity as a witness living in a world that is dark. We are light. And so our witness to the world, our faithful life, and our words also, is to live according to God's will, that which is pleasing to God. So, with that in mind, in our evening services, I've been going through for a while the basics of the Christian faith, as those basics have been summarized in our confession from the Heidelberg Catechism. And the Ten Commandments are treated in that confession, as you well know. And so we have come to the fifth commandment. And I was studying this, and I was struck by how the fifth commandment speaks to the idea of our identity as a people of God, our identity as a people also who lives in a world that is filled with non-believers, and we're called to understand authority. And yet we're living in a world that doesn't want authority. And so we have this anti-authority mindset that is often being faced out there in the world. And we're called as a people of God to live as those who learn how to accept, understand, prize, and live in faithfulness in response to authority that God has laid out. Dr. Timothy Keller and Dr. Kevin DeYoung have written on this subject very well, in my judgment, and I've gained a lot of insights from them, and I'm going to be utilizing many of those insights. Now, the fifth commandment begins what we call the second table of the law, right? The second table of the law. The second table of the law is focused, traditionally we say, in terms of our duty towards our neighbor. What are the things that God calls us to do with respect to loving and serving our neighbor? Quite right, but closely related to the idea of loving and serving your neighbor, right, is that we understand that all things flow from the first commandment, that we are to know the true and only God. We are to love Him. We are to serve Him. We are to obey Him. And exclusively. So there's this connection. Parents, children, parents in the home. We are a very pale and imperfect, but nevertheless, we are a representation of God's love, God's care, God's instruction, God's wisdom, God's authority. In the home, in our homes, we are a representation of that. So you children, you are called to honor your parents in that representative function, so to speak. Not that our parents really are representing God in that sense, but you see something of the goodness of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the teaching of God, and so on. You see something of that in your relationship with your parents. But if you don't learn to honor your parents, you will have a hard time learning how to honor God. How to look to God for love, how to look to God for care, how to look to God for authority. And so there is a connection between the first table and the second table of the law. The fifth commandment shows us some of that connection then. This commandment reminds us something very interesting, and in fact, it's the first time we see it in the Ten Commandments. If children will honor their parents, it will go well with them. It will go well with you. See, God gives us a wonderful promise and gift, an encouragement to be faithful to Him. If we learn to honor God, we'll tend to learn how to honor and respect our parents. If we're honoring God, we'll learn learning how to honor our neighbor, honor our teacher, honor our boss, honor your coach, other authorities in your life. You'll learn something about how to respect life. And you learn something about how to respect property of other people and how to respect reputation and all those sorts of things, see, will flow from this. So honoring authority and our neighbor will become part of our life if we learn how to respect God in our home. Well, this command, the idea of honoring authority, is that there is something higher than our heads. When it comes to authority, there is something above us. And that idea is not welcome in an anti-authority society. The spirit of our age is the exaltation of the individual. I mean, and we talk about that at times, but we have to be clear of that. The idea of our age is there is this independence, this ultra-independence. And that's an identity of Western American civilization. We're independent. We're individuals. So when a community of God's people honor authority, when they understand the importance of authority in life, when they have a healthy biblical view of authority, that stands out, okay? Christians' identity, we're in Christ. We're disciples of Jesus and sons and daughters of a heavenly Father. We're individuals, absolutely, and each one of us has been uniquely made in the image of God. And each one of us has been redeemed by the blood of our Savior Jesus. And we've been loved by God, and we've been indwelt by God, but we understand we are not our own. We understand that we belong to Jesus. We understand that we are part of a body. Body and soul, we belong to Jesus and we are part of His church. So as a community, it is our testimony, it is our identity, it is our understanding of ourselves that God alone is our ultimate authority. God alone. Nothing and nobody stands equal to God or stands above God in our thinking. He is the authority over us, and we love Him, and we worship Him, and we serve Him, and we seek His kingdom. Above everything else, we seek His kingdom. That's our calling, right? Now, I have to say this by way of introduction also. Authority is a trigger word for some people, right? Authority is often abused. In this world, it is a sad fact, and maybe some of you have suffered through certain kinds of abuse from authority figures in your life. Maybe in your father, maybe your mother, maybe a teacher, maybe a coach, maybe a policeman, maybe a pastor, maybe an elder. Governments abuse authority. Militaries abuse authority. But I want you to remember, God has never and never will abuse authority. Never. And He will avenge victims who've been abused by authority figures in their lives. He will avenge it. God hates that kind of abuse. Please understand that. But still, hard as that might be for some people to hear these things about authority, God calls us to this authority and this authority structure in the fifth commandment. And in our world, there is that spirit, there is that attitude that hates authority and exalts an individual. Me, I am ultimate authority in my mind, in my world. My body, my choice. Right? That's the abortion mantra. Sex, drugs, drinking, whatever. I use it. It's about me. It's not about you. Get out of my face. I'm going to do it if I want to. All around us is this message of anti-authority. There's this constant undermining of authority. And especially authority in the home seems to be undermined. So the fifth commandment is very counterculture. What I mean by the fact that something is countercultural is that there are these ways, there are these norms in our culture that clashes with the teachings and the revelation of God in Christ. God has revealed this. And these norms in our culture say, no, we do it like this. That's a clash, right? And so there is this anti-authority thing going on out there in our culture. There is a suspicion of all authority out there. Or there's the idea, there are no moral absolutes. Well, the Bible says there are moral absolutes, so there's a clash, right? Man is the ultimate authority. Well, the Bible says God is the ultimate authority. There's a clash with those two ideas. So this anti-authority spirit of our age, it's a thing. It's a growing thing. All my life, I have lived in an anti-authority spirit and culture that I've been made aware of by my teachers and pastor and parents around me. I remember the mantra words in the 60s and 70s, question authority. It was said, question authority was a big thing, right? Anyone over 25 is to be suspect. They're out of touch. So you might be looking at me and saying, well, you just put yourself in the irrelevant category. But that was the idea. If you're over 25, you're out of touch. You don't know. Life has moved on in North America, and it's different now. We don't have the same norms to live out of. It's outdated moral standards you're living out of. Radical individualism was raised up, right? So this spirit has taken root. It's become very influential in our culture today, that spirit of that radical individual. And in that culture, brothers and sisters, the church is in that way very countercultural, because we belong to the true and the living God. And we love and we honor that God, and we follow Him first and above every other thing. Not the norms of our culture. We need to understand that. So it's vital that Jesus' disciples are grounded in the standard of God's revealed will. That the fifth commandment talks about in terms of authority, that we embrace it. And we embrace the claim of authority that He gives us, puts over our lives, the calling of authority that He places in our lives. We have to embrace that. We have to know that it will be well with us as we do so. I'm going to look at three things, but as I mentioned, if you just look at your bulletin outline, the third thing I'm not going to look at today, I'm going to look at tonight. As I went along, I realized there's just more than you can say in a reasonable amount of time, and maybe what I do is too long, but we're going to leave something for tonight, and something tonight is about how adult children and parents relate to one another, a huge issue for us and for many of us here as being adults. But this morning, I want to look at, first of all, the child-to-parent relationship that is talked about here in the Fifth Commandment. So think about that. All around us, this message is, children, you are free to live the way you choose. That's a message going on all around you. You're being told this all the time. You should feel free to live the way you choose. Children should be free to refuse to follow their parents' teaching and go the way they want to. And I remember in a sociology class in the 1980s when I was in college, I know that's a long time ago, but I remember in this secular college, there was this literature that we were reading that gave counsel to parents along these lines. It says, don't tell your child what to do. Ask them to please eat their food and please make their bed and please take out the garbage and please whatever. Try to reason with them about why that's a good thing to do. But at the same time, I remember it was a Roman Catholic priest who was teaching the class, and at the same time he said, you know, if Johnny or Jenny don't want to do what is right, or do that right now, don't want to follow what you're pleasing, asking them to please do right now, just allow them to do what they want to do. And that was the advice given to parents. Now, I'm not saying that that's universal advice out there by people in the non-believing world. I'm not saying that everybody says that, but it's very much a mindset. And that you ask, you plead, you give many options, right? Let children choose. I know in many households, you can hear this kind of a conversation every day. People get out of bed, and if they come to breakfast, if there is a breakfast, they come to breakfast and say, well, Dad or Mom, what's for breakfast? And you say, eggs. And they say, I don't like eggs. I like waffles. Okay, I'll make you waffles. And the next kid comes in, and what's for breakfast? Well, eggs. Well, I don't like eggs. I want cereal. Okay, well, we'll get you some cereal. And on it goes. And the next thing you know, you've basically made a buffet. Unintentionally, but you've made three different breakfasts for people because you want to give people what they want. Now, whatever that happens, recognize the thought process. Sometimes I remember when we were raising our kids when we were quite little, I had to stop myself sometimes. I remember when my dad says, what's for breakfast? Eggs. Eat it. And so I'm not saying that was perfect. I'm just saying we had slipped into that sense of sometimes just like, well, you don't like this. Well, we'll make you this. And next thing you know, you're accommodating everything. But I want you to remember there is that sense of stretching the credibility of whether there's any authority out there. The Fifth Commandment is speaking to children. In Ephesians 6, the Greek word is suggesting dependent young children living in their parents, under the care of their parents in their home. Okay? That's why I have a third point that talks about adult children. Okay? But the command of God is honor your father and your mother. All right? And not mainly honor your father. It doesn't say that, does it? Very striking. Honor your father and your mother. This is both. You don't get to choose one. You don't get to play one off the other. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Why honor? Honor. That word honor. See, God could have used a different word in the Fifth Commandment. He does. In Ephesians, we run into that word obey. But in the Fifth Commandment, the word is honor. He doesn't say love. He doesn't say trust. He doesn't say admire. He doesn't say obey. Honor. Honor is the binding principle. Is it a distinction without a difference? No, it isn't a distinction without a difference. It means something. Honor. Why honor? Should children love their parents? Yes, you should love your parents. But love in a parent-child relationship can be a challenge. What does it mean to love a parent that abuses you? I mean, God's wiser than we are. When he gave a command and he gave it a certain way, do you think he didn't have multiple ideas in mind in terms of how to work out something in a difficult world? So he said honor. Love will flow from honor, but the principle is honor first. How about trust? Why didn't he command us to trust our parents? Well, sometimes our parents lie to us. Can you trust them? But you're to honor them. How about admire? Well, sometimes it's hard to admire a parent. If a parent is an alcoholic, how do you admire that parent as an alcoholic? But can you honor them? Obey. Well, obedience. Obedience works when a child is in the home, but what about when a child is grown up? There's more to this commandment than just 10 years old, right? We don't outgrow the commandment to honor our parents as long as they're alive. It's a big stretch of time. And so you're still honoring your parents even when you're no longer under their roof. The relationship is no longer built on obedience, is it? So even if you're 25 and you're still living at home, you probably shouldn't be living with your parents at home when you're 25. But even if you are, the relationship is different. Parents have to understand that. We all understand this, okay? It's different now, but you are still called to honor them. See, whatever age you are, if your parent is alive, you honor them. And that's the word that God used, even if you've done, they've done something even not good to you, unkind, bad to you. Honor them. If you're an adult and the rule of your mother is no cell phones at the table, and when you come to visit her, you leave your cell phone away. That's not a rant at all. No, but you get the point. I mean, you still honor your mother. She made that rule in her home, and it's her home, and you answer it, okay? That's the idea. Now, we obey in all things lawful, of course. We'll get to some of that. You may have to navigate some rules in this world that your parents have because it's all things lawful. But you find a way to honor your parents in the midst even of unreasonable things. So what is honoring? Honoring is to give weight. The Hebrew word is that it's weighty, that it's heavy, that it is valuable, that it is to be esteemed, and great weight is put into something and you esteem it highly. That's what it means to be honoring. Honor is a moral choice. It's a decision you make. Honor is not about your feelings. Honor is not about your opinions. You treat people with honor, with dignity. We are created by our Creator God to have authority over us in our lives. And we are to honor God above all things. We are also to honor those in authority that God has been pleased to place in our lives. He put them in our lives. He gave you your parents, kids. He gave you your parents. And so you honor him by honoring the parents he gave you to be an authority over you in your time in this life. This is God's will for your life. So when a young person says, well, Dad, you know, my friend's parents don't put those requirements, and you're probably thinking ridiculous and stupid requirements over my friends. They don't have to keep those things. Well, then your dad says to you, well, they're not your parent. They have a right to make their rules in their home, but they're not your parent. I am. And these are our rules. See, that should carry great weight to you, my young brothers and sisters. Okay? So for children living at home, honoring your parents means you obey them. It's not talking about adult children at this moment. We're not talking about married children obeying their parents at this point. That's an issue we're going to take up this evening in looking at our message there. But Tim Keller points this out. He says, obedience is a derivative of honor. Obedience is a derivative of honor. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. So obeying your parents, then, he goes on to say, is an outworking of honoring. Verse 1, obey your parents. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. See, he's working out the distinction. Obedience is a derivative of honor. In general, then, if you are disobeying your parents, you can't claim to be honoring them. You aren't. If you're honoring them, you will be usually obeying them. In general, right? We know there are things you can't do if they're commanding you something that is immoral or wrong. But in general, if you're disobeying your parents, you're not honoring them. You honor them by obeying them. It's a derivative. And that pleases God. The Bible tells it pleases God that you honor your parents. It pleases God that you obey them. And as you keep reading in Ephesians, that's the thing he says to slaves. As hard as it is to be a slave, if you will show honor and respect and obey your servant or your master, do it as one pleasing the Lord. See, you can be in a tough situation, but you know I am pleasing the Lord in what I'm doing. And you take joy and you take hope out of the fact that even though you're put in a hard place, you are pleasing God in what you're doing. And that gives you a purpose in this life, right? So you are pleasing the Lord when you honor your parents. If your parents ask you to do something against the Lord, then you can't obey that, right? God is the one you honor above all things, right? So you don't honor God by displeasing Him. So children, you're called to honor your father and your mother by obeying them. And Proverbs have a lot of these things in there. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. So it's not good to be a mocker, right? You want to be a wise son. 23 verse 22, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. And a blessing is attached to those teachings of Scripture. Long life. Now, there are exceptions. We know this. The Bible will say these general blessings, and there will be exceptions. Not everybody lives to be 90 years old. But the general blessing does stand. God blesses our honoring of our parents in this life. It's the first commandment with a promise. You will be blessed in this way. Now, the second thing then we turn to is the parent-to-child relationship that is spoken of in this commandment. Honor your father and your mother, then has requirements on you. And that is brought in very nicely. The principle of that is brought in and worked out a little bit more in the Apostle Paul's teaching in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to come into this more specifically in a moment. But the parent-child relationship, what is the primary role of a parent? Is your primary role to make sure your child honors you? No, that's not your role. Your primary role is to train up your child. Train up your child in the training and admonition of the Lord. Train up your child to love God. Train up your child to know Jesus and trust in Him. Train up your child to see God's Word and His way and His truths, and teach them that it is right to do this, it is good to do this, and that they're called to be faithful to God. In this life, that's what you are called to. You are a covenant child, and I call you to these things, and you train them up in this, right? So that's the idea that parents are trying to work out. Honor forms the foundation for fulfilling that role that you have, right? If our children don't honor us, it's going to be very difficult to teach them. And you parents, some of you know what that's like. You're trying to raise children who refuse to honor you. And that's frustrating and it's heartbreaking and it's challenging on many different levels. And sometimes children raised in Christian homes refuse to honor their parents by obeying them. And if that's you today, you need to hear this and you need to repent, right? That is just not right before God. But as a parent, you're trying to train up your children, and honor is going to be the foundation. So you want to give them this God-glorifying training, this discipleship that can take place in your home. And you're going to do the best you can at it. You're going to do the best you can at it. You're going to fail. You're going to have many weaknesses. You're going to have many limitations, but you're going to do the best you can at it, right? You are going to train them in the nurture and admonition and the training and admonition of Jesus. So that means we don't let our children train themselves. We don't leave the training of our children to other people. We don't let our children find their own truth. And I'm using words that some of you know very well. This is a thing out there, brothers and sisters, that they got to find their own truth. They got to find the way that it's acceptable to them. The way that comes out of their own minds, their own hearts, their own feelings, their own imaginations, or maybe comes out of their own peer group. And that's a thing that in our society right now at this moment in time today that wasn't there when I was first raising children. And that is that there's this very, I believe, very destructive and very deadly thing going on for our children. That for who knows how many hours a day, our children live in a bubble where they are listening to their own peer groups by use of cell phones and computers and all these sorts of things, but they're living in a youth bubble. Now, my young brothers and sisters, I don't mean this as a rant against youth. I love you. I do not despise you. I don't think youthful people are all evil or terrible or rotten people. But young people, you need to hear this. Your peers were not appointed by God to train you in the nurture and admonition of Christ. Okay? They were not appointed by God to train you up in the faith and in the truth and in what is right or wrong. You're supposed to use your brain and you're supposed to study the Word of God and you should be listening to it. You should be learning for it. But your peers were not appointed by God to form you in the way you're supposed to go. So when you find that there's this clash that I've been talking about between what your parents are teaching you and what the authorities God has placed in your life are teaching you, maybe at your church, maybe in all those things, and there's this clash, your peer group is saying this, and your parents are saying this, you are feeling that culture clash in your own life at that very point. And that clash isn't between just you and your parents. I know you might think it is, but it's not. That clash is between the viewpoints of an unbelieving world and God. That's really where that clash is. And you need to understand that that's what's going on. Earthly authorities, divine authority. And parents, we need to be in tune with those realities and that clash. We have to be diligently teaching. We have to be diligently modeling, discipling our children. We need to be showing them the nurture, the training, and the admonition of Christ. We need to be doing that prayerfully. We need to be interacting with our children about and engaging our children about these different ways that are going on in the world and versus what God's Word is telling us we ought to do. We need to engage that. We need to invite conversation of our children into that. We need to be using God's Word and conversing with our children about the views that our culture might be giving that are different than what we understand the Scripture to be teaching. And we need to be doing that with them. At a certain age, you just can't keep your children from knowing about those differences, right? You can't keep them in the dark about the fact that there are differences. And it's not even a good idea to try to do that. You don't actually see that in Scripture, that we're trying to hide the fact that there are these false ways out here. In fact, the Proverbs tell you, there's a false way and there's a good way. Go on the good way. And he even tells you a lot about the false way, and he says, don't go there. So it's not that we're going to shield our children from the fact that there is this clash with the culture going on out there. It's that we're going to try to help them through it with wisdom through the Word of God. That's our job. That's our job, brothers and sisters. That's what we're doing. So the Bible teaches that we need to be very aware of the hearts of our children. They are conceived and born in sin. As we are conceived and born in sin, so were our children. So without godly instruction, without godly training, they're going to go off the rails. We know this. That's what sin does. Apart from the Holy Spirit's renewing work, they may go off the rails anyway, despite your best efforts. But without love for God, without love for neighbor, without learning to honor earthly authorities, they're certainly going to go off the rails. So this is calling us. This is what the Lord's calling us to, but this is where our calling receives pushback from the world. You are called to train like this. You are called to admonish like this. You are called to encourage like this. You're called to do these things, and you're getting pushback from our culture about whether you even have a right to do that. Parents aren't authorities under God's word. They're enablers. They're facilitators. You're there to give emotional support to your child. But we're also being counseled regularly by people. Leave the training to the experts. Leave the training to the teachers. Leave the training to the counselors and the coaches and whoever else. In fact, parents are even told sometimes, let your child decide their own gender choice. Parents are just, let them explore, let them decide what decisions and directions they want to go in. That's the pressure, that's the pushback that we are getting. I know that in Canada right now, and I don't say this to bash Canadians, but in Canada and in the United States and cities around, there are laws that are enacted that forbid parents and counselors to counsel children against a lesbian or a homosexual or a transgender lifestyle. You cannot do it by law, right? It is technically against the law in Canada to even preach that these things are a violation that ought not to be pursued. But you see, that's not God's revealed will for parents, that we take that back seat. Proverbs 22, verse 6, parents, train up a child in the way he should go. God defines the way we should go. You train them up. Proverbs 29, verse 17, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. See, parents are to have this very active role in instruction. And God calls us to that. God put that authority structure out there. God calls us to this calling. So we need this instruction. We need the instruction from Ephesians 6. Now, kids, I want you to listen to this very carefully if you go to Ephesians 6, verse 4. And I think we all need to understand this part of the instruction very carefully and soberly. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not exasperate them, are other translations. Now, how do you provoke your children to wrath? Well, I'm sure I don't have to give you a whole lot of tips on that if you're a father. And I'm not here to give you tips. But here's the issue. How is it that we do it? Because we don't intend to. Kids, you got to understand, I think, in general, we don't intend to provoke you to wrath. But how might we do it? Well, you can do it at least by two ways. You can neglect giving affection. You can neglect giving your child expressions and assurances of your love. You can neglect teaching. You can neglect training. Or, on the other hand, you can be excessive and you can be harsh and you can be authoritarian. Authority is good. Authoritarianism is bad. But you see, either extreme can provoke your child. And so God says, look, here's the guidance. Train them. Training is the idea of discipling. Discipline comes from the same word of training. Disciple them, discipline them, give them direction. Admonition is counsel, encouragement, instruction. And give it in the Lord. The Lord is the definer. Your boundaries are the Lord's boundaries. You do not have a right to suddenly take your child and do what you want in the doing of that work. It's in the Lord, and it's with the direction towards the Lord. It's with the purpose of bringing them to the Lord. But we're pointing them to Jesus. We're using Jesus' word in this training, in this admonition. And we're to hold our children accountable to the truth of God's word. And you're to do that with kindness. And you're to do that with wise counsel. Not you. We, right? With wise counsel, we hold those two things together, right? Training and admonition. Parents often have done one or the other in life, But that's an imbalance. So we might discipline, but we do that without gentleness, or we do that without wisdom. And that produces a rebellious child. When you over-discipline, when you're over-harsh, when you're putting irresponsible and silly and irrational rules together that are just going to provoke and provoke and provoke, you're being foolish. You're going to produce angry and rebellious children. That's an imbalance. If you're authoritarian, if you're harsh, and you're trying to drive them to obedience, you're going to provoke them, right? But if you neglect training and if you neglect discipline and you spare them discipline and you over-counsel with them and you argue and you debate with them, but you never quite get around to actually pressing them to something, and you just leave it always up to a debate about it, right? And you're overly permissive, there's no accountability, they're not going to respect you. They're going to lose respect for you. They're not going to honor you. They're not going to respect God because there's no accountability for their choices. There's no accountability for their actions. So if you lean to either side too much, you're going to have a rebellious child. There's going to be no honor. There's going to be no respect for authority. So the Bible is calling us to that balance, that proper holding together. Train them up. Admonish them. Counsel them. Encourage them. Do it in love. Do it for the Lord. Parents, that's a high calling. And we need the Holy Spirit. We absolutely need the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the Spirit's grace and equipping wisdom every day to love your children in the way that disciplines them, that holds them accountable, that glorifies God. And so we're to give them counsel. We're to give them admonition in the way that shows that you know Jesus and that you trust Jesus. And that you live for God and you live for God's glory, and that's what's driving you. And that's your motive. And you children, you have a high calling before God too. He's given you parents. And he calls you to honor them. He calls you to obey them in all things lawful. And in that way, you're learning how to honor your Savior. You're learning how to honor your God. You're learning how to serve God. You're learning how to love God. You're learning how to glorify God. And that's your motive. You want to glorify our Father who is in heaven, who is a perfect Father. But see, brothers and sisters, all that gives us a wonderful motive, but we also have a wonderful model. Jesus is our model in both of these. Isn't that interesting? Jesus can be a model for parenting. He never had a kid. Jesus can be a model for being a child. Our Lord Jesus learned to honor his heavenly Father. He also honored his earthly father and mother. Jesus was a baby. Jesus was a toddler. Jesus was a teenager. Jesus was a 20-something. And he learned how to honor his father and his mother. And the Bible tells us he did that. And he did it because he was obedient to God. And he did it because he was obedient to God's word. He did it because he wanted to honor more than anything else his Father who was in heaven. And he wanted to glorify his Father who was in heaven. See, that was what he did. That was his motive. But he modeled what it means to do that. But Jesus is also our King. He's not just our model and example. He's our King. And he also knows how to rule. And he also knows how to lead. And he also knows how to do that with gentleness. He says, I will not snuff out a smoking wick. I will not break off a bruised reed. I am not authoritarian in a bad way. I am not this person who's this ogre who's pushing you and beating you to do things. He's leading you. He's a shepherd. He's leading you beside still waters. He's giving you a table to eat in front of your enemies. He's giving you he's anointing you with oil. He's ministering to your needs. He's doing that shepherding work as a servant, but also as your King. And he shows you the model. So as parents and as children, all of this is very difficult for us because we're sinners, because we fail a lot. But we are gospel people. We live out of gospel promise. This is so important. This is so important to live out of gospel promise. What do we know about the gospel? Well, Jesus died for all of our sins against the fifth commandment. Jesus covers up those sins we commit in light of the second commandment and every other commandment, right? Jesus' righteousness covers all of our failure. And you know what? God accepts us for the sake of Jesus' saving work. So here's what's so wonderful. Is you go to God and He forgives you for all your sins, all your failures. Parents, we need to confess our sins and our failures as parents to God, and He will forgive us. Let that encourage you in your failures. We're gospel people. We're not kidding anybody. We're never doing this perfectly. We can feel bad about it. Don't just sit and stew. Ask God to forgive you. Go to God and confess. Children, you need to take your sins as a child, and you need to go, you need to ask God to forgive you for your disobedience, your disrespect. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. Maybe you committed them a long time ago. Maybe it was decades ago and you still remember them. But you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Seek God's forgiveness. And He forgive. That's the promise of the gospel. He will forgive you. And then parents and children, you take that gospel reality and now you go to each other and you ask for each other's forgiveness. So as parents, we screw up. We don't say, well, I'm your parent. No, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I sinned against you. And children, I was wrong, Mom. I was wrong, Dad. Forgive me. Please forgive me. And then we ask God for the help that He can give to grow up in obedience to Him in this very important and high calling. Amen.